All right, if you have found Genesis chapter 3, we're going to begin in verse 1. And then in a second, we'll be skipping down. So watch for that. All right, beginning in verse 1. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any other beast in the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight in the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called out to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree in which I commanded you not to eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." Now, let's skip down to verse 21. This is a very important verse. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim with a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Let's say our scripture declaration together. Lord, we honor your word to us. May your truth become our heart's pursuit and our life's practice. Heavenly Father, as Pastor Randy comes forward, may our hearts and our ears be open to hear what you have to say through him. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 And with that, we'll go ahead and dismiss our teens to go on back as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Eric and worship team. Just a wonderful job, as always. It's just a pleasure to be able to worship with you guys and share the word of God with you. I have some things that I'm going to be sharing at the end of service that are kind of some housekeeping items with our church family. And I want to make sure to just tell you that we're planning on doing that and sharing those things as we kind of come to an end. But I just want to simply keep going on the idea that we have begun with this teaching and with this scripture reading. So if you want to just kind of keep that app of yours open to Genesis chapter 3 or keep your Bibles open, we're going to be referring to that, and we're really going to be going deeper in that kind of towards the end of the service. So we will get there, and it will be important that you can read along and see those things, because there's some real powerful lessons that we're going to share. But I want to just kind of pick up a little bit on the concept that we've been doing over the last couple of weeks, and that is the When Theology Meets Technology. And today's message title is When Technology Fails. And I think probably if I say when technology fails, you start thinking, first of all, like when Netflix doesn't pull up like it's supposed to, you know, that sound that it makes when it's supposed to pull up. And you click on it and there's like this long pause and you're like, where's that bong? You know, the boom, you know, that thought, you know, and you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. Or when you have your Wi-Fi network go down on you and you're just like livid with yourself. You can't hardly believe that this is the place that you live that doesn't have Wi-Fi that's stable enough, right? And all of these things, we know that they fail, but we've become so reliant upon them that we lean into them and get frustrated when they don't come through the way that we expect. Well, I'm going to talk about technology failing in a whole different realm and a whole different level as we talk about what we see from the Garden of Eden as well as what we see in our modern world. And let's begin here because last week I kind of realized that I was in a bubble, okay? I'm a pastor. I went to school as a pastor. I talk to a lot of pastors. And when that happens, you know, a lot of the time you forget that some of the things that you take for granted are not things that everybody else kind of is familiar with in the same way. But you may or may not remember, but last week we talked a little bit about the idea and the thought. We talked a little bit about the idea and the thought of technology and theology. And I ask you guys, y'all know what theology means? And a lot of you said, well, I don't really know. So if we go to this next slide here, the root word ology basically just simply means the study of. And so if you talk about sociology, which you've probably heard of, you probably had to take when you were in college, the study of basically society and social behavior. Criminology is the study of criminal behaviors and things like that. And theology is the study of God, which is the theos, which means God in Greek. So theology together, theos, God, the study of, and you put those together and you talk about the theology and how it meets technology. And so I want to just share with you guys as we talk a little bit about theology meeting technology. The truth is that I asked last week, I asked Miss Tiffany to kind of make a joke at the end of her scripture reading saying, well, you know, all of this is how God wants us to live unless you're online and then anything goes, right? Because the truth is that for many of us, we don't really let technology and theology meet. We've said things online that we probably would never say to someone eye to eye and face to face, but we know that that's not as important, that we watch ourselves in the same way because of the fact that we'll probably never meet those people and they may not even know who I am, you know, because I'm JRP, you know, 1971 at, you know, whatever, and they don't know that that's really me, right? So our theology and our technology have to meet because the truth is that we have a whole other side of ourselves that used to not exist. And let's talk a little bit about that real quick as we go to our next slide. Now, as you see here, this is the depiction of the biblical character Abraham, who probably lived about 2160 BC. And then you have this guy on the right. Y'all know who he is, right? I mean, Abraham Lincoln, who lived in 1860 AD. Now, if I can just draw your attention real quickly to this screen here in the middle, where we talk about the automobile, which was created in 1886, and the radio in 1897, the airplane in 1903, the television in 1926, the internet, which was created in 1969 and really hit the wide release, so to speak, in 1983, mobile phones and the smartphone and all that stuff. Here's the deal. As crazy as this sounds, just look at the number of years between. It's almost 4,000 years between Abraham of the Old Testament and Abraham Lincoln. But the truth of the matter is that you probably have less in common with Abraham Lincoln in your everyday normal life than Abraham in the Old Testament did, because all of these things are a part of your everyday life and Abraham Lincoln never laid eyes on them. Are you guys with me? So almost 4,000 years of time goes by and nothing really changes that dramatically. And then look at all of these things that have changed so dramatically in the last 100, 125, 150 years. So you're like, well, that doesn't really affect me. Yeah, it really does. Because here's the thing. If you've ever felt like the world is moving faster and faster and faster every single year, can I get an amen, first of all? Any of y'all feel that way? Okay, I know that if you have a gray hair or two or many or whatever, it feels like the world is moving so fast and it's hard and difficult to keep up. And so it's important for us to grasp that the way that we live our lives, the way that we can choose to live our lives is dramatically different now. But if it does not connect with the beliefs that we have in God, the theology that we claim to have, and we don't connect that with the technological world, we can feel very, very disconnected. Well, that's not the real world. Well, it really is. And so we got to be very careful that we don't separate those two and push them apart. So here's something to learn as we go to our next slide. While technology advances at a wild pace, humankind does not. We are processing life at a rate far below what our technology can produce. And at any given moment, we are given up to 11 million bits of information. But the human rate of engagement is 40 bits of information. And I've always kind of made this joke. So if you don't believe me that you can only focus on a certain length of things and a certain amount of things at any given time, go ahead and turn up the radio real loud and try to back up in a tight space, because you won't do it, right? Because I got to turn the radio down. I really got to focus here, right? It doesn't make any sense except for you only have a certain amount of bandwidth. Now, here's why this matters. Here's why this matters. If your world is coming at you at 11 million bits at any moment, and you can process 40 of them, you have a lot of chances to get it wrong, right? You have a lot of chances to get it wrong. You have to focus in. You have to have attention with intention. And if you do not have that, then it will feel absolutely overwhelming. Now, here's another reason. I've shared this with you a number of different times, because I want you to stop for a minute, hone in with me. Hone in with me for just a moment. I want to go a little deeper. Think about this. Have you felt in the last 3 to 5 years of your life that the things that used to touch you deeply don't quite hit in the same way that they used to? Have you ever felt in the last, say, 5 years or so, maybe going back to the pandemic, that the things that used to mean something powerfully to you are not quite striking the same chord as they used to? You're not feeling them quite as deeply. The highs are not quite as high, and the lows maybe feel even a little lower than they used to, but not in a way that moves you to action. It paralyzes you instead. Okay, so if you've ever felt anything of what I just said before I said, hone in with me for a moment, can I see your hands? Have you all ever felt that and kind of experienced that? Here's why. It's this world. The world is coming at you so fast that you can only get a little bit. It's like drinking out of a fire hose. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's too much, and you cannot fully get what you are trying to get. So it's very, very, very important that where you can, you have to be able to, as Psalm 46 says, you have to be able to be still and know that He is God. You have to slow down intentionally and let God move at God's pace instead of demanding that God move at the pace of our world, which has nothing to do with the good for our souls. And this is where technology fails. You can know more than you've ever been able to know, and you can feel less than you've ever felt. You have the opportunities to be more engaged, quote unquote, and yet have less connection to anyone else that you've ever had in your past or in the future. And so ultimately, what you and I are doing is we're living at a place and at a time in our history that is not healthy for our souls. And this is where technology fails. If we put technology on the throne and at the center of our lives, ultimately, it will feel very full, but yet very empty all at the same time. So we must slow down and allow ourselves to have that soul food that actually sustains us rather than makes us hungrier. All right, so let's keep going. Can I get an amen? Are y'all with me? Can I get an amen on that? Y'all know if I don't get a good amen, I'm like, all right, I'm going to start over, you know. So I know I shouldn't be like that and that shallow, but I am a little bit. All right, so here's the great book by John Dyer. He is a man who has done so many things for Anheuser-Busch, Harley-Davidson, Apple Computers, even for the Department of Defense. And yet he is also a professor and an author who does an incredible job of sharing about technology and theology and where they meet. He teaches at Dallas Theological Seminary. So some of the things that you might see may have a little DTS watermark because I took an online class there that was really powerful for me. But that's a picture of John Dyer right there in the bottom left. And that's a great book, and you can find that on Audible if you're interested. A good technology, in my humble opinion. All right, let's keep going here to our next slide. But how many of you guys know this guy? Y'all know who he is, right? I heard this from the John Dyer book. It's going to blow you away. When Steve Jobs, this is from Wired online, Wired magazine, said even Steve Jobs didn't predict the iPhone decade. And then the tagline underneath, on January 9th, 2007, Steve Jobs introduced the phone that he said would change the world, and then it did. Here's what this tells us. The truth of the matter is that when Steve Jobs created the iPhone, he thought that you and I would probably use it somewhere 4-5 times maybe per day. Now, how many of you think that sounds pretty funny if you hear it right out loud? Okay, so he thought we would probably do it for important things, like maybe use a map or something like that. We would call people on important phone calls. But this is in 2007. I remember back when Shelly had hours on her cell phone that I bought for her so she could make sure and call me if she had any problems with the kids. How many of you guys remember when nights and weekends were free and you had to buy, okay, congratulations, guess what? You're old, right? Okay, so there it is. But this is a very different world, right? I even remember here, just go deeper here. He thought we would use it 4, 5, maybe 6 times a day for important things, but that's all that it would do. But even Steve Jobs, who had an amazing vision for technology, had no idea that in 2024, you and I would touch, pick up, and look at and engage with our phones probably somewhere around 345 times per day. How many of you are surprised at that number? How many of you are not surprised at that number, right? Okay, so it's not 6 or 7 like he thought. It's very different than he thought. What he thought he was creating had a whole different life that took on its life, the life of its own, and that's captured in this right here. He said that it would change the world, and then it actually did change the world. But even now, let's slow down again. Even now, we have to say to ourselves, okay, so this is not good, this is not horrible, but this is something that creeps in without us paying attention to it and giving it the rightful place that it has rather than the place that automatically kind of takes over. You know what I mean? It's not a red light, like stop it immediately. It's not a green light, like anything goes. It's a yellow light where it calls for and insists that you have wisdom and understanding. This thing is incredibly powerful. It's so powerful, by the way, that a moment ago I turned the air conditioner down because I looked back there and the most important member of the church family was fanning herself, Shelly. And so I thought, she's got to get cooler and I've got the control right here in my pocket. So guess your boy took care of you. We went to 69 degrees instead of 70. And, you know, that's important. I have one church member to please above all others. I'm sorry I'm shallow like that, right? But here's the truth. That's a good thing. But me touching my phone 350 times a day when I see my kids at home around Christmas time for maybe 6 days total, if I don't change that somewhere, how many of you know I've missed a huge opportunity that I don't get that often? And so I have to be wise. It's not red, it's not green, it is yellow. Use discernment, use wisdom, and make a wise decision and proceed with caution. Because it can get a hold of your life and change it, not always in a good way. All right, let's keep moving here. And our task as believers, here's what John Dyer said in his book. I'm going to share 2 big quotes with you. Here's one. Our task as believers is to fight the tendencies attached to our devices that feed the flesh. Now, that's his quote, and I made it applicable because it's easier than ever to be a consumer and not in a good way. It's easier than ever to focus on things that make you angry, that are slanderous, that have rage and malice attached to them. It's easier than ever for your sexuality to not be pure. It's easier than ever for selfishness and the narcissistic tendencies that are out there to be accessible to you and to be indulged by you. All of this is easier with a cell phone. All of it is easier with a smartphone, okay? Now, if you guys agree with that, can I get an amen? Okay, so if that's true, then we have to be very careful because none of this is what we want to be. But it's easier than ever to be this person that we do not want to be, all because of something that can be incredibly good. And it's right here with you and me, all right? So let's go. And we talk about how mobile phones actually are rewiring the brains of our kids. I talked a little bit about that last week. Let's keep moving here to our next slide. And I want you to notice in 2 John, John, the disciple, wrote to a church, and he said, "Though I have much to write to you, I'd rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk," what? "Face to face, so that our joy may be complete." And then later, another passage of scripture, Paul wrote, he said, "For I've made up my mind not to make another painful visit to you and face to face. And I wrote as I did so that when I came, I might not suffer pain from those who should have made me rejoice." In other words, you have to make a decision between what is right and what is good and what is most beneficial in your life. And different technologies fit different times and places. And so please be very aware that it's not always this or always that. It is wisdom. It is paying attention to these decisions rather than allowing them to just simply be something that takes its own way in your life. Let's go to our next slide. Here is a great thing that I shared with you from DTS last week. This is the installation of the Pope in 2005. Take a look at that. And then in 2013, that's 8 years later, that is another live picture of an installation of a Pope that was being installed 8 years later. Can you imagine now? It's the same thing that we see. It changed that dramatically over just 8 years. Simple and short years. So as we go on to our next slide, I want to share this with you. This is going to be hard. I'm going to share a little bit of a curtain moment. I'm going to pull back the curtain a little bit in my own marriage. It is important that you know that my marriage is not perfect. My wife makes something called fruit pizza. It looks a lot like this, except for a little different. And so one day, she made fruit pizza, and it's heavy, like in a difficult thing to make, because a lot of chopping you got. She makes it a little different. It's on hers, it's like walnuts and coconut and kiwi and grapes, and it's amazing. It's amazing. It's like one of my favorites, okay? But here's what happened. A few years ago, my wife made fruit pizza, 2 big cookie sheet pans full, all right? People were supposed to show up and eat more of it than they did, and I was stuck with the leftovers. It was not safe. It was not a safe environment, right? And so I told her about a week later, I said, "It's really crazy because I've been eating a lot of fruit, and I've gained 3.5 pounds. And she was like, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, I've eaten a lot of fruit, a lot of kiwi, a lot of banana, a lot of coconut, all that stuff." She's like, "You've been eating fruit pizza, haven't you?" And I was like, "Yes, I have. I've been eating fruit pizza. It's healthy because the first word in it is fruit," right? So she said, "You do know, don't you, that the bottom of the fruit pizza is actually a snickerdoodle cookie?" And I said, I'm sorry, what?" And she said, "And then the icing on top that all the fruit sits on is a cream cheese icing with whipped cream mixture. So you've got snickerdoodle, cream cheese, and whipped cream, and then fruit pizza." And I was like, "You are a deceiver. You're a terrible person." I said, "I'm 50-something years old. I'm never getting rid of these 3.5 pounds that you've cost me right here. It's just never going to happen. And I'm very frustrated about it." She said, "I'm really sorry." I said, "Well, it said fruit. I thought it was good." And she said, "Well, what are you going to do about it?" I said, "I'm so upset about it that I'm going to go drown my sorrows in another piece of fruit pizza." and I gained 4 pounds total. I share this fictional story. I mean, semi-fictional, because she did actually tell me, that's actually a cookie. You know that. I'm like, okay, all right. So I share this fictional story to tell you that if you haven't clued in to the fact that technology has a dangerous side, then you're just not thinking correctly. You're thinking with your hope, not your head. Because, I mean, every single thing in the world that you want, honestly, can be found right here. Right here. And I have plenty of moments where it's just me and every portal to every good, neutral, negative, and even evil thing that exists in this world. And just like that is a great way for me to get unhealthy real fast, that's what this is. But this is also the thing that I used the other day to call my daughter, who lives out of state, and I wanted to connect with her. I didn't have to go home to do it. I had 30 minutes driving time, and we called, and we chatted, and we reconnected. You have to be wise. And your technology has to meet your theology, and you have to be aware of this fact. There will come a time where technology will fail you, and if you don't know where to turn then, there is nothing but emptiness for you. So pay close attention. All right, so let's move on from this. Shelly, make a note, fruit pizza in the next couple weeks. All right, here we go. Something else to learn. Technology is addictive because of the neurochemical that is entitled dopamine, or called dopamine, also known as the feel-good hormone. We as humans crave novelty, which basically means that new interests us more than old in our unsophisticated and untrained minds. In other words, unless you really think about it, you want the dopamine hit. And what that dopamine actually is, what you get when you see something brand new for the first time. This is the chemical that's released when you have a sexual encounter. This is the dopamine comes out whenever you eat something that you love. Like, all of these things happen. And guess what else? Whenever you pick up your phone, you get a like, or you see something brand new, or you see an image or a picture that you like, or a story that finds interesting. It's these two factors that combine and give us an addictive response to our phone. And did you know that even young people and teenagers, it's not just them, it's all people of my age group as well, and all the way down, that whenever you take these away from them, you literally have a withdrawal, almost like you're coming off of a drug. Now, does that surprise you? Or does it not really? Because you probably are aware, as I am, of the different things that we have going on and how hard it is to resist. Let's go to our next slide. So real quickly, almost every social media platform, this is John Dyer saying, almost every social media platform has some way to track what is popular through views, likes, retweets, or reposts, and comments. And humans tend to crave novelty. These two things together combined find that social media tends to value posts and pictures that offer stimulation over reflection. And let's keep going to what else he said in that same vein. Over the years, we've seen that social media tends to reward controversy, anger, and inanity, meaning basically silliness or nonsense, over confession, contemplation, and kindness. It's also the same on TV. So we got to be very careful of what we are consuming and all of these things. All right, let's go to our next slide. No matter how great technology is, it cannot meet humankind's deepest needs. This is where I want to go and spend a good part of our time. No matter how great your technology is, it cannot meet your deepest need, and it cannot meet my deepest need. That is only found in God and the things that He gives to us, and all things being put under His lordship. And if we're not doing that, everything that we are doing to try to make it fill up, to distract us long enough, all of that stuff just simply feels like emptiness and like cotton candy for our souls. We've got to be very careful that we pursue what God has created. So real quickly, would you guys please say this out loud with me on the count of three? Ready? 1, 2, 3. No matter how great technology is, it cannot meet humankind's deepest needs. Let's go to our next slide. Thank you. I talked about the three tectonic shifts that we felt in that first week, the speed of our lives, compassion fatigue, not feeling deeply those things that should be moving us deeply, and then the pull of constant distraction. I'm sharing some of that, but let's talk a little bit deeper and go a little further on our next slide here. The first one, something that we feel a lack of. We feel a lack of balance in our lives. We feel a lack of patience with others. Here's what I would say would be part of the solution. We have to deny self-made fixes. We have to deny self-made fixes. Let's go to our next slide as we do. We talked a little bit about how crazy things have been politically, how there's red and blue. Let's go to our next slide. Here's the crazy thing. You search for something that's called echo chamber. You guys have probably heard about it. In AI says, we have filter bubbles where primarily we are exposed to content that aligns with our own existing views. So let's go to our next slide. In other words, the music that you listen to is sent to you if you listen to Spotify. Your social media, whether it's YouTube, Meta, or Facebook, or Instagram, all of that stuff is sent to you because they figure it's really going to land with you. And so you know you and people like you better than you've ever known them before, and yet you know people that are not like you less and less and less. And can I make it real personal here? I'm not trying to pick at a scab or pick at a wound, but we got to heal in our country, and here's what we're doing. The people that are blue states cannot believe about the red states and how they voted, and the people in the red states cannot believe how the people in the blue states voted, and they don't understand each other because there's no conversation and no common ground to meet on anymore. And so that's why people left this election, some saying, I knew it all along, and the other saying, I can't believe it. And if it would have been flipped, the other side would have said, I knew it all along, and the other side would have said, I can't believe it. Because we don't know people. We know people that just think, act, believe, vote like we do, because that's all that we're getting fed whenever we spend up to 3 and 4 hours a day online. They don't want you to stop because it makes you uncomfortable. They want you to stay on, so they will keep sending you stuff that is curated just for you. Can y'all see how this leads us to not be balanced people? And you see in our world the signs of a lack of balance with one another. We are less tolerant, less kind, less forgiving than we've ever been with people who are not like us. And that is a huge problem. I don't know if I can get an amen. Maybe I can. Can I get an amen on that? All right, a handful of y'all. All right. No, actually pretty good number. Thank you. Okay, so let's keep moving here. Do y'all remember this? Again, congratulations, you're old. This is like back in the 90s. Lawrence Fishburne, the coolest dude ever, like in the long black trench coat, offers Neo, the second coolest dude ever, Keanu Reeves, right? He has a red pill and he has a blue pill. Do you remember? And he says, if you like to keep on living the way that you've always lived, you can have this pill. But if you want to see things as they truly are, then you have to eat this pill, right? So I wish I could do a Lawrence Fishburne impersonation. It would just fall flat, so I'm not going to try. But you can see the reflection in the glasses. And this is literally what's happening in our world today. You are getting one side of the information, and the other is kept from you. And that's why it feels like you can't believe when the world doesn't turn out in the way that you've been told it's going to. And yet the world has a way of not doing things the right way, right? All right, let's keep moving. As we keep moving here, just a friendly reminder, don't skip leg day, okay? In other words, you and I have to eat our vegetables mentally, emotionally speaking, and if we choose not to, then we come unbalanced in these funny little things here. Let's keep moving. As we see, so we have to deny the self-made fixes that feel good to us in the moment but make us less balanced. And then we deeply need to engage with personal events and prioritize love for other people. Now I want to talk to you very clearly and very plainly. And now we're talking about some things having to do with all of this foundational stuff of our reality. Now let's talk about where our theology meets our technology. We're going to hit it. But let's hit it important Okay. So, in other words, the longer you spend online, the less connected you feel and the more depressed you feel. That's important. Why? Because as you go to this next slide, you notice that interacting in a neutral environment without a cell phone nearby seems to help foster closeness, connectedness, and interpersonal trust and perceptions of empathy, the building blocks of relationships. In other words, let's do a quick little thought experiment. You and me, we're sitting down and just chilling together. We're having a cup of coffee and things take a turn. You start sharing something shared before, and in the process of it, it gets real emotional. You guys got the mental image? And we're sitting at a table, and as you start telling me what's going on in your life, or maybe what God, where you needed God to show up in your life, and you're there, and you're talking, and I'm engaged, I'm hearing you. But in between the two of us, my phone is sitting there, and you're pouring out your heart, and I get a how many of you is that's going to throw you off? It's going to throw you off. But you're like, hey, it's modern world. Pastor Randy, probably just hearing from somebody. And I'm just like, no, tell me more. Second time. And I'm like, it's nothing. It's really not even important. Don't worry about it. I mean, I've got it on silent anyway, so just keep talking. You've got three of those. How many of you are done with the conversation at this point? I mean, I'm not trying to be funny. Are you done at this point? If I hit five, you're definitely done, right? Even if I turn it upside down, I'm not listening. You're like, no, it's not working anymore. The moment has passed. So why am I pointing this out and why am I sitting down to get your attention? Because you and I have these with us all the time. And you have your kids with you for a length of time that you don't grasp how short it is. As an old dude whose kids live in other states, I'm here to tell you it passes way too fast. Put it somewhere else. Now, on the other hand, if I said, let's sit down. I know you've been going through some things, and I'm going to turn this off. And I go through the process of turning this off. And I set it over here, and you never hear anything. How many of you, in that moment, I've just communicated to you that I value you and this moment pretty highly? Right? Do that to your kids. Do that to your kids. Do that to your grandkids. We can use this thing for good or for evil. Let's use it for good. Where we're like, you know what? I'm going to put this aside so that nothing interrupts. I don't want anything getting in the way of me connecting with you and vice versa. That's easy to do. By the way, this is something that my wife suggested a number of years back. We started eating dinner together almost every single night that we could. No phones were allowed, not mine, not hers, not the kids. No phones were allowed. Occasionally, we would have to change that rule because of an emergency call that we were expecting around that time. But the crazy thing is that when you don't answer, you already know who to call back, even if they don't leave a message. And a lot of the time, they will leave a message. And so I just encourage you, put it aside. Let it be something that actually conveys the importance that you place on people. And I share all of that to share with you again. It's not green light or red light. It is be wise, be aware, be intentional, and think about God. Let's go to where God was. Let's go to our next slide here and think about that. This is actually another one. Another passage of scripture that I actually intended to put here. I switched the two and I didn't get it right. So if y'all can focus with me for a moment. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, says that the man and his wife had their eyes open after they ate the fruit. And then do you remember what it said? It said that they heard the voice of the Lord in the cool of the day, walking in the garden, and they hid. Y'all remember that Eric read? Maybe in your Bibles that you're seeing there. So what did God choose? The God who could literally have spoken the words and implanted the words in the mental side of the man and the woman that he created, did not choose to do that. He chose to come physically and walk with them consistently. Do you remember what Jesus said whenever disciples would come and said, "What's up with you?" And he'd say, "Why don't you come and see? Why don't you come and walk with me? Why don't you come and live with me? And then you'll know for yourself. Taste and see that the Lord is good," he says. Over and over, he values experience over intellect. It's not what you know, it's what have you experienced with the Lord. How have you engaged with him? How have you listened to him for yourself, not heard about somebody who listened to him for themselves? So as God walks in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve, they know who's making the noise in the garden. You know what that means? They knew that it was God's time to show up because God shows up about this time, and that's the noise we're hearing. Y'all know what I'm saying? In other words, consistent experiential connection with these people that God had created. He's not pushing it off. He's prioritizing it. And in a few weeks, we're going to start talking about the God who could have stayed up there and dropped the scriptures in a form. He could have even chosen to give us a video if he wanted to, even before the technology was ever created. But instead, he came and he said, "I'm going to walk among you, and you can walk with me, and you can watch how I live. And when you see me, you will know what God looks like when he puts skin on." That's called the incarnation. And he chose those things. And as the kids say, it just hits different. Because whenever you see what he does, when he is just like us except for God in the flesh, it hits different, and we remember, and that's why they call it the greatest story ever told. You see what I'm saying? So here we stand, and we are doing less and less connecting than we've ever done. Have you guys ever seen people at a restaurant sitting across from somebody that they love deeply, and they spend 45 minutes on their phone, maybe both of them at the same time? Or what's even worse is when one of them is and the other one's just sitting there looking absolutely miserable, like, "I could have come by myself because I'm functionally by myself." Y'all have seen that, right? I won't ask if you've done that, but I guess I just ask if you did that, right? Okay. So here's what I share with you. When technology fails, let's go to our next slide here. And I am coming to a close here. This is written by MicroAge. It is a technology company. This is the CEO. And he says, face-to-face versus screens, what neuroscience reveals about real connection. Let's go to our next slide. This is the thing that he wrote, and I enlarged it here. Here's the pull quote. "The study found face-to-face interactions elicited 9 significant cross-brain links between frontal and temporal areas of the brain, whereas remote communication elicited only," how many? 1. It's not the same if you're not making a connection face-to-face, person-to-person. Now, this is the guy who teaches Zoom Bible studies on Wednesday nights. Technology has a place. But if only and ever your life is online and never face-to-face, you are not experiencing life. You are experiencing a facsimile and a shadow and a form of rather than real life. In layman's terms, you sync up more intricately when physically present. In other words, you and I together start making connections. Your heartbeat starts beating in time with mine. If you've ever heard of saying you know what? We really got together and we all got on the same wavelength. That's literally neurologically what is happening. The brain waves start waving at the same time. Crazy, right? It's true. It's true. And this is from a tech guy who has a tech company. All right, let's keep moving here. Okay, so now, the weird part that Eric read, and I want to talk about this and share with you very quickly, and I'm going to hit it quick. The Lord said, "Behold, the man has become like us, knowing good and evil. Now lest the man reach out his hand and take of the tree of life and eat it and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken." And go to our next slide here. And then it says, "He drove out the man at the east end of the Garden of Eden. He placed the cherubim, a flaming sword that turned away every which way to guard the way towards the tree of life." This seems like God being unfair to us. But here's what he is actually doing. Eventually, you and I will grow so tired of our world and our bodies will break down to a point where we wish that we could just go home to be with the Lord. That's going to happen. God knew that Adam and Eve were going to go towards the tree of life, take and eat from that, and would live forever in a place separated from God. What seems like God being unfair is actually God displaying huge grace. He's saying instead, "I'm not going to let you live forever in a place that you and I cannot have the relationship that I wanted to have in the Garden of Eden. And I wanted to maintain, but you chose to disregard it. I'm not going to let that forever be the case. Instead, there will come a time where you and I will be reunited. And that will happen." And this is important that we grasp and understand that our lives eventually come to an end and we will choose to be with the Lord or not. And that is a powerful choice that God has given us. But let's make sure that we're not waiting to the end of our lives to connect with the God who loves us. Let's go to our next slide here. "And then the eyes of both of them were open. They knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths." That's in the third chapter, verse 7. But notice in verse 21, "And then the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin and clothed them." In other words, he looked at Adam's technology and said, "This is not enough. This is not enough." First of all, the sin and disobedience had to have a sacrifice and blood had to be shed for the remission of sins. We know this is a figure of what Christ would be, but this is even further, and this is incredibly important. Whatever we think we can do to bring about reconciliation to God that is done on our own will always fall short in God's sight. And not only will it always fall short in God's sight, but it will always be empty in our own world and experience. That's why people who have billions of dollars want more, even though they could never spend it all. Why? Because there's still a yearning for something else. But it's not more. It's different. You have to pursue something different, that thing that will fill you up, that is not man-made, but is God-ordained and God-made. And if you are experiencing emptiness, here's what I would share with you. The technology will distract you, but it will never fill you. It will never hold all the answers. And those things will keep you entertained and moving and even distracted, but never actually fill the void that God alone can fill. Okay, let's go to our next slide real quickly. I've already shared this, so I'm going to keep going. Here's where we are today on our next slide. We have the decision to press pause on everything that we've talked about that could take us in the wrong direction. It's in your hands. No matter who you are, what you are the one who chooses. Let's go to our next slide. And now we're here at our apply by. If you and I check our devices about 344 times a day, on average, how often do we actively seek to connect with God or with others? Very seldom do we. And yet we say that we just simply don't have enough time to find God in our modern world. But here's the question that you have to ask. How are you going to lower the volume? Is it going to be mindful time spent? Is it going to be choosing to do random acts of kindness? Is it going to be consistently connecting with other people? Are you going to leave your phone? Are you going to somehow find a way to limit your phone from its impact on you? I do not know. But here's what I know. Technology is not a red or a green light. It is a yellow light. And you are the one who is called to have the wisdom and make the right choice how that fits in your world. So here's where I want to end today. It sounds like to me, when I hear all the things that I'm sharing with you, it sounds like that I'm a person who hates technology. And I want to share something with you that is very, very meaningful and very close to my heart, especially in the last couple of days. You go to this next slide. You may or may not know what this is. Maybe a couple of you do because some of you guys are in the medical field. But this is a robotic surgery that's taking place. And there's been over 12 million of these done in Europe alone. 1 year ago, Friday, was the day that we found out that Shelley had colon cancer. When she went back to have her surgery done to remove the cancerous tumor in her colon, this is basically what it looked like. I'm incredibly grateful for this technology, where they didn't have to come in and be so invasive and put her at risk and put her in danger in a different level, in a different way. They sewed up either side of the colon where the cancerous tumor was, and then they removed it. They took out all the lymph nodes, and God showed up in amazing and incredible ways, healed her in so many ways. And here's what I know. Friday night, we celebrated 1 year of this knowledge and this interest, you know, just understanding of what she was facing and dealing with. 1 year. It's been a year. Man, it's been a year, y'all. It's been a year. But I promise you, when I think about the technology, I'm glad for it. When I think about the year, I remember you guys calling us, feeding us, hugging us, being with us, praying for us, literally thousands and thousands of people all over this world praying for my wife that she would be healed. I remember that she was taken back on a gurney, and the last face that I saw was not even her face. It was Kim Potts' face, who said, "I'm going to be there. And I'm going to walk her back." She worked at MD Anderson. "I'm going to walk her back. And so until she goes asleep, I will be there with her. And when she wakes up, I will be there." I'm going to tell you, when technology fails, that is what matters. That's what I remember. Now, I share all of this because it's very meaningful for me, right about the year moment. But it drives home the point. People are fascinated with this stuff, but lives are changed with that stuff that I just mentioned. In your life, technology fails here, but you and I make decisions here to make this kind of impact that will not fail nor fade. So you and I have to make these choices and make them in the right ways, for the right reasons, and make them consistently, not once and then forget. And in the process of it all of our technology has to meet up, line up, and sync with our theology because of the way that we have been called to live our lives. And I hope and pray that it does. Let's check out this video here, if you don't mind.
We were broken, sinful, and wretched. A stain soaked deep into the fabric of humanity. Consumed by death, covered in darkness, lost in the wilderness, set adrift in the vastness. But God, He was consumed too. Unwilling to watch His creation wander endlessly. Unable to sit by as we dove deeper into the abyss. He was overcome by love, by grace, by mercy. He took our pieces and gave them purpose. He took our shattered spirit and gave it hope. He took our destiny and reshaped it. Though we were unworthy, He counted us worthwhile. We were broken, but in the hands of God, we've been made whole.